Baby bonus check.
It may be early in the morning, but it's always time to go exploring. Welcome to Outdoor Pursuits with yours truly, Jane Quinn McDonald. We recorded this episode on the unceded territory of the Michilat, Maotrat, Lakwotat, and Comox people, and we are broadcasting through the Tsleil-Waututh, Coast Salish, Musqueam, and Squamish territories. Today, we chatted with two of the senior staff members here at Strathcona Park Lodge, where I'm working until school starts up again in September. And we chatted about what the lodge is, kind of what their mission is, what Ali and Benji's relationship to the lodge looks like. And they're raising a baby here, so we're going to chat about what it's like to have a kid free range. And lastly, we chatted about some words of wisdom that they have for people looking to enter the outdoor education industry.
Okay, this is Outdoor Pursuits with yours truly, Jade Quinn McDonald. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. Welcome to our two guests. Today we've got Benji and Ali, and we are broadcasting from Strathcona Park Lodge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You can set us up.
Okay. Hi. Happy to be here. Thanks for being interested in us. I am from Victoria and Powell River, so kind of half and half of my life in both places. And my title here is People and Culture Manager.
I'm Benji, yeah, said that already. I'm from Germany originally and came to Canada 2019. My position is kind of a mix between maintenance and rock climbing instructor.
Do either of you know anything about the lodge's history and kind of what mission they're trying to accomplish?
Yeah, I mean, the lodge was started in 1959 by the Boldine family, Jim and Myrna, together. And they're both teachers locally in Campbell River and just felt very passionate about outdoor education. And from what I've heard, Jim was quite a boisterous and strong-willed character. And he pitched his idea of this outdoor ed lodge for youth to Myrna's father, and Myrna's family owned the property, and he loved the idea, and so he donated this land to them, and I guess the rest is history. Jim unfortunately passed away from cancer quite a few years ago now, so I never met him, but the lodge is still owned and run by the Boulding family. So Jim and Myrna's son Jamie and his wife Tina run the lodge now. Yeah, so they've been running outdoor ed programs since 1959, and then the Colt program was started in the 70s.
Mm-hmm. And Colt, for those listeners who are not aware, stands for Canadian Outdoor Leadership Training.
Yeah, right? So there's kind of like three parts to the lodge. Mm-hmm. So Myrna was very sure that she wanted to also have not just an outdoor education lodge, but a lodge for people to be able to come stay at, more kind of like a tourism-based part of the lodge. So they have like beautiful cabins here and rooms that people can come rent, and families and what have you come and stay in the summer. The main part of the lodge, I would say, the outdoor education part, is mostly done in the spring and the fall, and it's all school groups that come, typically Monday to Friday, grade 7 to 12, and they enjoy either like a lodge-based week where they do high rope zipline, rock climbing, kayaking, and they do a one-night camping trip, or it's like a full week of sea kayaking, or a full week of rock climbing, or a full week of hiking.
Yeah.
And then the Colt program, so I guess the third part of the lodge, is more of a adult-based hard skills training intensive 100-day course, mm-hmm. That they run twice a year.
Right. Mm-hmm. I've heard it called Fast Track.
A fast track.
A fast track.
Yeah.
Guiding world.
Nice. Yeah. You get a good taste of everything,
yeah.
And it gives. And then you also have the opportunity after Colt to do a practicum at the lodge,
yeah.
Which is really cool. And they then can decide, like, do they want to get into outdoor ed or do they want to go to guiding?
And the lodge isn't located inside the park boundaries.
That's right.
Because there's no commercial operations.
Right.
The park boundaries, from what I understand.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, we're like, I guess, 7 kilometers from the official park boundary.
Mm-hmm.
The park boundary is very strange. It's not a big rectangle. There's lots of little ins and outs. Oldest provincial park in BC, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Home to the highest peak.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, on Vancouver Island.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The Golden Hind.
The Golden Hind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so many people don't know that Vancouver actually has huge mountain peaks, you know?
Yeah, the island has a lot to offer.
It has so much to offer,
yeah.
And so many people come and they go to Mount Washington and that's all they know. But that's just like a little tiny, tiny little piece of the park. Like, the park is like the whole huge center of Vancouver Island. Yeah, it takes up. And I think, like, when you look at where Strathcona Park is specifically, it looks like we're really dead center on the island.
Yep.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. You can hike from the park out to the west coast, all the way out to the ocean, which is cool.
And does it touch the border? Does it touch the ocean?
I believe so. I'd have to look at it again. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think it's like you get out to, what's the name of those lakes?
Bedwell Lake.
Bedwell, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Bedwell Inlet.
Mm-hmm.
And from there you could like boat to Tofino or something. Yeah. If you wanted to do a little crazy route. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Lots of adventure to be had.
So much adventure to be had.
And do you guys happen to have the mission statement of the lodge?
Yeah. It's to teach the wonders, worth, and spirit of people in the natural world through outdoor pursuits.
Outdoor pursuits, hear that, folks?
Whoop, whoop, outdoor pursuits.
Yeah. Well, Benji, in particular, how did you hear about this?
So, my brother, Sebastian, he came here a long time ago, like 13 years ago?
2010.
Mm-hmm. On a work and travel visa. It was like he was turning 35, and in Germany that's like the last year where I can apply for these kind of visas. Anyways, so he did that and he got stuck here and worked here from then on.
Him and his girlfriend and now wife.
And now wife, yeah. They have a baby and baby is good, like a little boy now.
Almost 7.
And I ended up visiting them twice within that 10-year time span. And basically, when I turned 34, I was like, okay, wait, this is the last chance I can also apply for this kind of visa. And I was working already in a full-time job for 9 years. And I thought, okay, let's switch something up here, quit the job, change my life, and do this. So I came over here 2019, and he got me a job.
Mm-hmm.
As rock climbing instructor.
Mm-hmm.
I did that for one season, and yeah, that's when things started.
Yeah.
That's how I got here.
Yeah.
Yeah, and for rock climbing, there are definitely jobs where you need like ACMG
mm-hmm.
Certs, I guess, if you like operate in a national park, for example.
Right.
But here at the lodge, working with the school programs, having certs and from Germany was definitely enough, and the experience I had was enough for this kind of job.
You had a lot of experience teaching rock climbing.
I mean, I definitely needed to get like wilderness first aid,
mm-hmm.
which I had never done before in Germany, because there's no wilderness anymore, unfortunately. And coming to Vancouver Island is like, okay, this is wild, literally.
Yeah.
So this cert I got, and then like other certs in whitewater kayaking and whatever's out there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still learning.
Do you have a specialty, Allie?
Oh, it's a good question. I guess sea kayaking and hiking are my like angles out here. Yeah. when I was the chief instructor here, I taught a lot of sea kayaking skills to people. But yeah, I very much enjoy it.
Yeah.
And would love to do a lot more of it. Mm-hmm.
So, chief instructor,
mm-hmm.
what did that entail?
So basically, you're the manager of all the outdoor instructors.
Mm-hmm.
So hiring and training and managing, making sure that everything happens safely, and yeah, having a handle on all the risk management and yeah, kind of keeping the team together.
Mm-hmm.
And then getting out in the field sometimes as well.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And what was your entry level job here?
So I started as an instructor in 2008.
Okay.
So I worked here 2008 to 2010.
Mm-hmm.
As an instructor. I had done an adventure tourism course.
Mm-hmm.
In 2005. So long ago. Wow. Yeah. Almost 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And I had done a little bit of guiding here and there. And then found out about the lodge, applied. I didn't think that I had near enough skills, but they hired me and it was great. I loved it. It's a whole different experience than guiding, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And did you go from instructor to chief instructor?
No. So I left to go back to school.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did a bit of traveling and working in other areas. And then I finally decided what I wanted to do with school.
Mm-hmm.
Did my degree in therapeutic recreation.
Oh, amazing.
And then I worked in the social services field for 3 years. At a dementia care facility doing the recreation programs there, and with at-risk youth doing really fun things with them. I went surfing and hiking and canoeing and stuff. It was really quite rewarding, but the place I was working kind of fell apart, unfortunately, and that industry is definitely hard to be in. And the chief instructor role opened up here. So I applied because I knew this was a really happy and positive place to be. And got the chief instructor job.
Right.
And yeah, then did that for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then mat leave for a year.
Yeah.
And then now I'm in this role that I'm in now.
Mat leave. Remember.
Segue.
Song break.
All right, so the song I chose is The Better Life by John and Roy. John is a local guy from Vancouver Island. Started as John Middleton and then started doing music with Roy as John and Roy. And now he's doing music with his partner as O.C. Elliott, and has a beautiful voice, and I've followed him for a long time. And this song and its lyrics just remind me of why, you know, I came to work at the lodge here, because it's a happy place, and with the focus of sharing love and connection to ourselves and to each other and nature, and it just feels like it reminds me of the purpose we're here, and it's a beautiful song, so enjoy.
I'm headed side, there's a lot is always right, but we don't have always hit the blinds, and love and overrides. Go told this time never come, I want it any higher. I'm going for a better life, and I'm ready for the night. Paint the black water. Down like all the lonely ones. Best of black holes, music guns. get drawn. I'm going for the other side, where the light is always right, where we don't have all these heavy blinds, and the loving overrides. Though I'm told this time will never come, I won't head any higher. I'm headed for a better life, and I'm ready for the night. And feeling like a ghost, wearing nice clothes in this modern time, where we're disconnected from ourselves in this land, and we're always on the run. Can we turn about and notice what we are? Living beings in the storm. I'm going for the other side, where the light is always right, where we don't have all this heavy plight, and the loving for this time will never come. I won't head any higher. I'm headed for a better life, and I'm ready for now. I'm ready for now.
Looking to get a reliable and affordable used bike? Need a repair or service to your current ride?
Come to the Bike Kitchen, UBC's full-service community bike shop, located in room 36 of the UBC Life building. Our hours are Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m.
If you buy a bike from us, bring it back when you're done using it, and we'll give you half of your money back, as long as you took care of it. If it needs repairs, we'll split the cost with you.
Yep, you heard us right. We'll give you crisp dollar bills for half the original price of any used bike that you buy from us, minus the cost of repairs.
For more information about our buyback policy and to stay up to date on any COVID-19 inspired changes, find us online at thebikekitchen.com.
Harmonic hooligans, we're gonna be your three little music friends. Every second Thursday at 2 p.m., we're here for Music Time, CITR 101.9.
Yeah, so Benji and I are married.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So when he came in 2019, we met.
Mm-hmm. At the lodge.
At the lodge.
I was my boss.
I was his boss.
Don't tell anyone. Too late.
Yeah, anyways, fell in love.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him I would never move to Germany, so we better move here.
Unfortunately, yeah. It was actually a very tricky time. I mean, it's not a secret. COVID mm-hmm. actually started on my birthday, like mid-March.
Yeah.
So the visa is only valid for 1 year mm-hmm. Because Germany does 1 year. Mm-hmm. So I had to go back in March with the plan to come back mm-hmm. as soon as possible, literally, like mm-hmm. applying for the next visa, trying to get into like a PR application process. But then, yeah, pandemic, borders mm-hmm. closed, no chance mm-hmm. to get a flight or anything. So we tried to to get me back to Canada.
Yeah. And so basically I worked the full season here, which was a crazy year. You know, outdoor ed was highly affected by the pandemic.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was a whole different year than normal. And then I flew to Germany in September to rescue my love from Germany and bring him back to Canada. And it worked.
It worked. We got like a notary
stamped
letter
thing saying we were common law. Yeah.
And then the border officer didn't hesitate and he let me back in.
He almost proposed to me in the lineup to the airplane.
Yeah, he said something about like, okay, you're not married yet, or
he's like,
should I do it now?
Yeah.
No, and then, I mean, once you're back in the country, then you're good, mm-hmm. right? And I was here as a tourist, so I couldn't really get back to work.
Right.
So I had to basically wait for the application process to begin, and that finally went through.
Got pregnant and married.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Found out we were pregnant the day before we got married.
Oh, wow. No way.
On one weekend, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was a memorable one.
It was memorable. It was beautiful. Mm-hmm. Crazy year of work while I was pregnant with him. It was like things were starting up again. Mm-hmm. Staffing was hard. Mm-hmm. It was hard to get people. I mean, to like, you know, kind of focus more on the whole outdoor pursuits thing, I'd say that the like industry has really taken a turn. Or not even a turn, just like a bit of a switch. So a lot of the like more senior staff that we would have returning every year kind of had to switch their lives up, switching careers or going back to school.
Yeah.
And so coming back into outdoor ed after COVID was a challenge because the schools were coming back and still expecting the same kind of programming that we'd always done. We were all just like, outdoor ed could start again. Okay.
And everyone was like,
how do we do this?
Yeah.
But.
And you spent all your time on mat leave on site, pretty much?
Yes. Yeah. So thankfully, Benji was able to get PR basically right before I started mat leave. So I worked up until that point, and then it was kind of, just serendipitous, the timing, really, for me to be able to go on mat leave like a month before Ember was born, and Benji was able to start work.
Yeah. Prepping the nest and...
And then, back to work in this role. We're just... because we're so far out of town, you know, we're about 40-minute drive from town.
From Campbell River.
It's hard to have childcare.
Yeah.
So we're both just working part-time and parenting part-time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what kind of... I know there's, like, the community here is pretty solid.
Mm-hmm.
How many people live here full-time?
Full-time? Yeah. It kind of, like, fluctuates every year. Mm-hmm. And I think... with definitely like the struggle with staffing and like keeping long-term people, the lodge decided to make it more of an official thing having people stay throughout the whole winter, because there's no programming from basically the end of October until March.
What happens during that time? What happens in the winter?
There's like a few cabins rented out,
right.
like tourism based, but there's just no programs happening. Mm-hmm. And it's basically a time to just like clean up,
mm-hmm.
recalibrate,
mm-hmm.
And plan for the next year.
Right.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
So I generally have had like a month and a half off of work. It's a nice time to either go back to Germany and visit family. But it's a whole crazy busy season here, and so it's really nice to just have that time to kind of settle and plan for the next year, because there's a lot of planning involved. There's a huge amount of planning involved, so it's good to have that time to do that.
So the seasons are obviously very noticeable
mm-hmm.
in in your case, right? Because the turnover from school and then more guest-based school and then almost,
winter.
Yeah.
Slower pace. Mm-hmm.
I guess the staff numbers probably fluctuate with that too, right?
Yeah, a whole lot. Yeah, so I'd say like at most there's maybe like 10 people that stay here through the winter.
Right.
There's not whole lot of like staff accom mm-hmm. that can be sustainable through the winter. Like a lot of, you know, you need to be warm and you need to have cooking facilities and your own bathroom and so there's just a few places on site that can actually like serve all those things to people. And and there's also not a whole lot going on. And so it needs to, you know, a lot of their concern with having people stay over the winter is just that they're staying healthy and well through that time and not just like feeling isolated and stagnant. So
I see it could go that way.
Yeah. So people that have work, like I'm sure that like I'll be working more kind of throughout the winter this year in this kind of, I mean, I said my title already. It's basically HR. So I'm like doing hiring and, you know, for all the different departments other than instructing now. So just like totally switched it up.
Right.
So for housekeeping, front desk, office, kitchen, maintenance, dining departments. And then just like helping kind of like maintain the community throughout the season. Yeah. So, you know, making sure that people know the rules and make sure people have someone that they can go to when they need to, because, you know, again, we're not like right in town. And helping navigate all the little idiosyncrasies of community living, which is important, and, you know, making sure that there's fun things to be had and that people know what they can do and all of that stuff.
Totally.
So there's, lots to do.
And then, like, the idea of community, I guess, also goes with family living in your case, Reggie. What's it like living with your brother so close? Raising children in proximity?
Oh, it's great because I was very close with my brother when he was still in Germany. Definitely looked up to him lots, and then now being back, basically kind of following him in his footsteps, even though I obviously want to try to do my own thing, is very exciting. And having Felix as a little play buddy for Ember is great.
Yeah,
and
it's so special,
and just someone that can take care of him in case we need to work more or. Yeah, the other day we had to go to the hospital in the middle of the night and we just like asked them if they can come
Julia,
over.
Can you come sleep at our house?
Sleep on the couch. And,
Well,
that's great. Even though we're support. So far out, it's good to have a solid community, and we have that here. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys try to limit like interactions or is it more free range?
You're like, please take him.
He's free range.
Definitely free range.
Yeah.
I think, what was I saying the other day? Because, all staff eat meals down in the same dining area.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good food.
It is.
It's like I was saying to someone the other day that it's, I think, easier for us to eat down there because there's always someone that can watch Ember and distract him while we're eating our food.
Yeah.
But I think it's harder for him to eat down there because there's so much distraction.
Totally.
So, you know, like we do breakfast at home every day because it's just like it's too much sometimes. And there's a lot of students here. You know, you can have 150 students on site sometimes. And it can be quite a lot down in the dining area. So definitely, like, I guess we navigate mealtimes in that way. But I think, it's the, like, interaction he has with people is really special. Like, there's a lot of really amazing people here that are very sweet and exciting for him. And he already seems like a very social person, which he gets from his dad. Social butterfly. He just loves it. So I think it really depends on your kid and their temperament. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure things will change and fluctuate throughout the years, which maybe you'll hear from Seb and Julia later how they've navigated that with Felix.
Mm-hmm. Do you have like a danger threshold?
Danger threshold. I'm sure we do. Yeah. But it's like,
I think we're pretty
relaxed.
Yeah. Relaxed with things he's exploring and doing. Like our cast iron stairs are one thing.
He's got a scar on his forehead that I think is going to be there for a long time. Poor guy. But I think there's a quote which says, it's important to let kids do dangerous things safely. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what I kind of live by, I guess, mm-hmm. is... And I've seen it already so much in him and his physical abilities, like allowing him to, you know... to learn going up and down stairs, and we have like this two-step in our place, which I think is amazing because it's not a full flight of stairs, and so if he fell it wasn't like a huge dramatic thing, he would just bump his head and be okay. Mm-hmm. But he learned to go up and down stairs like so quickly because of that. And like the other day I brought him hiking with me and took him out of the carrier and let him hike, and he like 14 months it's like hiking for like 20 minutes, half an hour on his own. It's like crazy.
That's pretty crazy.
You know, like it's slow. We're not moving very fast. And like he needs to take little breaks every now and then. But like, yeah, I'm so impressed. And I'm so grateful to be able to live in this place where we can just like have a hike out our back door or like be down at the lake in like 2 minutes. And I'm so excited for this summer. It's going to be so cute with him at the lake. Yeah.
And his cousin Felix, he also lives here. He knows more of like local nature than
most he knows
of,
all the edible.
Most of the instructors, I would say.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Definitely more than me.
Yeah. You can eat this. See, you know, you just like pull it off and like give it to you. Like,
do you want to poison me right now? My mom told me. That's great to be out here for sure.
So, Benji, could I ask you a little bit about the experience you had in Germany before you came here and what interested you initially in rock climbing and the outdoors in general?
Oh, okay. So, we're a family of 5 kids in total, and we always went on like big adventures during vacations, and we all loved being in the outdoors always, basically, right? So and then in school, I went to boarding school, they had these programs or trips during the summer vacations, and they went to Switzerland. They had like a little alpine hut near the Matterhorn, I guess it's like a very well-known mountaineering and climbing area. And that's actually how I started, and I was 12 years old. I remember like going to the gym there or just scrambling rocks, and my brother actually started at the same time, but not together with me. He did it individually, and that's how we actually became a team of two climbing all sorts of climbs in the Alps.
Crazy
and
stuff.
all over the world. Yeah,
right.
And actually, like where I come from, it's called the Ruhrgebiet or melting pot, I guess.
Yeah.
It's like a very industrial area in Germany, and it's just flat land and only like chimneys and towers.
Right.
So it was always a big effort to actually go into the mountains. And visiting my brother here like twice during that time, like actually, opened my eyes like what's possible here.
Yeah.
At the lodge and being here, and that's why I chose to like go for this work and travel visa. The job I was doing was, I wouldn't say boring, but it was a 9-to-5 job in a rehabilitation center.
Gotcha.
As a sport therapist.
Right.
And
Did you go to university?
Yeah, I got my master's in sports science or kinesiology, I guess they would call it here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's totally different. And I thought about maybe going back into that kind of work, but that would be a whole process of getting my master accepted here. And let's see what comes.
International shenanigans.
You also were thinking of going back to school to be a teacher. And all so now here you have like the outdoors and you're able to educate, which is pretty cool. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I had a whole plan before coming here 2019, before I met Ellie. So that whole plan changed, obviously. But
song break.
You told me, like, we need a song that is that represents maybe your journey. And I actually made a playlist for my travel time. Mm-hmm. And the song I picked is maybe kind of sad a little bit, and it's New Home by Bukahara. Mm-hmm. And but whenever I listen to it, it's like I see myself going through that progression of maybe feeling restless in what I was doing and needing new challenges in life, and basically quitting my job, leaving my family, my friends at home, and do something new and find a new home, which I literally did here. Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4 I will come to a point in my life when I decide not to hide anymore. I will pack my bag and leave my friends, my home, leave everything and go away. I will be strong, I will be proud and not afraid of anything that will come along. And I promise you I'll make my way through the day and through the night. With a smile on my face, I'll leave this dirty place to find myself a new home. And if anybody wants to know where I am, tell him a new home. I will eat what I get and sleep outside, 'cause I won't need anything. There will be no space and be no time, and I will try to be myself, yeah. And I will live in harmony with everything that surrounds me. I will have good days, I will have bad days, but I will feel alive. A smile on my face, I leave this dirty place to find myself a new home. And if anybody wants to know where I am, tell him I'm gonna find myself a new home, yeah, a new miss my friends and miss my home, 'cause I will be alone.
I will ask myself for many times if that is worth to be free. But then I will remind myself of what I'm looking for. With a smile on my face, I will go to another place to find myself a new home. And if anybody wants to know where I am, just tell him I'm gone to find myself a new home.
خانه جدید،
وطنی جدید،
نوگوچی،
مالی تازه، این
Zuhause،
تهانوه،
a new home،
سر اون گویان.
Are you tired of Big Brother bookstores trying to sell you some billionaire's favorite book or Heather's top picks? Then you should check out Vancouver Books. Vancouver Books is a new online family-run bookstore. A portion of their profits go to First Nations reconciliation and environmental projects in British Columbia. They provide their customers with the most interesting books in fine arts, signed first editions, First Nations photography, fine ancient books, occult, and so much more. They also provide carbon-free delivery to anywhere in the Vancouver area. So go to www.vancouverbooks.ca to check out Vancouver Books today. That's www.vancouverbooks.ca.
May is Asian Heritage Month in Canada. And this year, the Vancouver Asian Heritage Month Society and its signature event, the Exploration Festival, is celebrating its 27th anniversary. Exploration Festival is a month-long celebration that brings together all of the Pan-Asian Canadian artists throughout the Lower Mainland, including visual, art, poetry, dance, and music. Find all of the events and exhibitions in the online program guide, which you can download at exploration.org to learn more about what's happening in your community this Asian Heritage Month.
It may be early in the morning, but it's always time to go exploring. Welcome to Outdoor Pursuits with yours truly, Jane Quinn McDonald. We recorded this episode on the unceded territory of the Muchalat, Mauchat, Lakotat, and Comox people, and we are broadcasting through the Tsleil-Waututh, Coast Salish, Musqueam, and Squamish territories. Today, we chatted with two of the senior staff members here at Strathcona Park Lodge, where I'm working until school starts up again in September, and we chatted about what the lodge is, kind of what their mission is, what Ali and Benji's relationship to the lodge looks like, and they're raising a baby here, so we're going to chat about what it's like to have a kid free range. And lastly, we chatted about some words of wisdom that they have for people looking to enter the outdoor education industry. So enjoy, and yeah, that's
if you guys have any almost guidance to people who want to get into this industry.
The dog coughing and shaking in the background.
Yeah, just like what jobs, super general, but what kind of steps people could make.
Like advice?
Yeah, advice for outdoor industry work.
Oh. Yeah, I can answer. I would say definitely, we kind of touched on it earlier, how like experience can take you so far.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the lodge has gone through a large transition from, you know, the 50s until now.
Totally.
And it's still going through that. Like, there's not a huge amount of certifications for whitewater paddlers.
Mm-hmm.
So often it was just experience.
Mm-hmm.
But now there's, you know, the Swift Water Rescue certification and all that sort of stuff coming into play. And I think it's important that we keep up to those standards necessary
mm-hmm.
for insurance purposes and all of that. it's really important to have really a mix of both. So, whether that's taking like a specific program like Colt, or there's an outdoor program at North Island College, or, you know, the adventure tourism course that I took that gives you kind of like a really good foundation to start off from, or if it's, you know, just joining in on a Sea Kayak Guide Alliance level one or AOG program,
mm-hmm.
or signing up for a wilderness first aid certification program on your own and kind of like building those on your
yeah.
own, and then, you know, getting out there
mm-hmm.
and having, I know, like me growing up, I grew up like trailer camping with my family,
mm-hmm.
like I never, there was nothing ever extreme, and so I know a lot of people like join clubs with their universities
mm-hmm.
or, you know,
yeah.
trying to, yeah,
yeah.
you know, find friends in the area or community based groups, to just like, yeah, get yourself out there and, experience the things.
Experience the things.
These are all very valid things and more like hard skill related, I would say. Like, definitely get whatever certs you need,
mm-hmm.
of course, and
mm-hmm.
experience, very important. But I think maybe even more important is you gotta love working with people.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, like, this is like your daily job. If you're guiding or just working with school programs, you have to be patient. You have to like accept all curveballs that are going to be thrown at you, and just be patient and be positive. You got to endure a lot of negative time, I guess, too. Like, it's tough working
yeah.
long hours.
You don't get paid very much.
you're coming home with all the wet stuff from a trip, and then you have to go out basically 2 days later.
Yeah.
You don't have time for laundry because 10 other people are doing their laundry.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
I know what you're talking about.
So, like, it's patience, and you have to be positive during
mm-hmm.
this time.
And you do. Yeah, I agree. Gotta love it.
You gotta love it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't you write a good blog about like being an instructor at the lodge?
Yeah, you can check out my blog
mm-hmm.
on the Strathcona Park Lodge website, where I wrote it in my last year of chief instructing before having Ember, and it was all about a little bit of like my journey of how I got into the industry and the different instructors that I came across along the way, and what a special privilege it was to manage them and get to meet all of them. And yeah, I invite you to read it.
Amazing.
You need a little bit of time.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah. It's,
I highly recommend it. I'll link it in the description to this episode.
Thanks, Jay.
Well, thank you guys so much for your time.
Mm-hmm.
I've deeply appreciated it, and I think the listeners will as well.
Aww, yeah.
Thank you.